It's me. Ooh-wee. It's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
What did you say, nigga?
You can just suck my... Yo!
McCook!
What's going on, man? It's Thursday night as usual. You know, this is your boy, Nestorius, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. Pit Pop, you don't stop, to the top, to the mountaintop. Yo, this show is live, so if you're listening live, you call 1-800-893-9562, 800-893-9562. Put that out there. Got my usual... crony right here, my co-host, Corbin.
What's up? Nothing else better to do. What's I was sitting on? Around with my bran flakes and my out-of-date rice milk.
Yeah, your expired rice milk. Yeah. Well, we're very grateful to all those.
Thanks for having.
Sitting at home in their underwear with nothing in their fridge but expired rice milk and five-year-old box of Cheerios.
Not even the real Cheerios, like the bootleg Cheerios from the bottom shelf.
Yeah. The generic Cheerios. The Mighty O's.
The Odeos.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know what they're called. That's because that's what my mom got me.
Yeah.
She got me the Odeos. Yeah,
except
that. And the Fruity O's.
Crusty O's is the ones these motherfuckers have. Anyway, and we got my better half. The Mrs. Rosemary Rodriguez,
much
director,
better,
producer.
Much better.
Much
half.
Better, I agree.
Producer, director.
No argument right now.
Or the,
I already won.
Olympic
Ladies
swimmer.
And gentlemen, newsflash. Nestor Rodriguez is out. Has
out
a lack of
speechless.
Words.
Yeah, so we got Rosemary. Well, we were talking, the reason why we got Rosemary in here is, first of all, welcome. Welcome to
Thanks.
The show. We haven't had you here in a while. Mm-hmm. You're a dedicated caller. You know, you call in and chime in whenever we got some shit going on. But you've been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah.
But we were talking about just.
Do I get any kind of intro? Or that's it?
I
just
did.
Your wife? That's my intro?
No, I gave you an intro.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Oh, that's it.
Okay. All right.
What?
That's a show intro.
It's Rosemary Rodriguez!
What did you say, Nestor?
Okay. Not what I had
what
in mind, but it works.
Hold on, let me do that live. I could do that live. I could do that.
What did you say, nigga?
There you go. I just hooked you up. I gave you like a live, you know, manual intro. I did. I gave you an intro. I said, my better half, Rosemary Rodriguez, director, producer,
there you
writer.
Go. That's a fucking intro.
I said that.
No, you left that part out.
Now you all know why I come to the studio on Thursday night to do a podcast, okay? Now you know what prompted the Nestorius Public Radio Show to get the fuck out of the house.
Give me a break.
Get the fuck out of the house.
If there's any therapist listening right now,
anyway.
That might be therapeutic thing.
So that was a pretty good intro. So like if we had new listeners right now, they would just like drop out because we just spent 5 minutes on an intro. But this is the Nestorius Public Radio. That's how we do here. But we were talking about, you know, the big hoopla over last weekend's Mayweather Pacquiao fight. And like I personally don't give a shit about these big sporting events that people in the United States and I guess in other parts of the world make a big deal of. It's just another stupid day for people to get together and have a reason to get drunk or eat, you know, dip
together,
or nachos.
Spend
you know,
time together.
To spend time together. And I think that, you know, spending time together is the reason. But also, I always think about this, like, why do people make such a big deal, like, of the Super Bowl or football championships and, you know, basketball, baseball championships and boxing matches? And I'm a firm believer that, you know, deep down inside, we all need to fight for something, right? But most of us don't have, you know, the time, the energy, or the balls, for lack of a better way of putting it, to fight. Like, to really, you know, put your money where your mouth is. So instead, you know, we root for these teams and these sports guys, to these boxers to you know, fight each other so you can feel victorious on some level. Like, you know, it's called...
You're living vicariously through them because you got a 40-hour-a-week job, 50-hour-a-week job at the factory or in front of a computer. And you just need some sort of an outlet, you know? That's why TV is so important and popular to our culture, you know? It's like they want to escape. That's why movies were so big and during the Depression.
It's not more... It's not,
escapism. It's,
no.
Yeah.
It's, I'm not going...
It's,
no, no, I'm
it's
not
all
going,
together.
No, I'm not going into escapism. I'm going into...
I think it's more about the competition.
Right.
And guys against guys.
Right.
And guys.
And women, too.
But women's sports aren't... There's not money in women's sports the way there are in men's sports.
No, I'm not talking about women's sports. I'm saying women... I'm talking about people in general, right? Not just women or men, but men, yes, let's stick
about
with men.
Watching male sports.
Well, it's... What I'm saying is it's about a subliminal need... to identify with a team, like, you know, the Romans versus this. It's just this innate thing, but most people don't have the balls, the time, or the wherewithal to actually fight for something, right?
Uh-huh.
So
they get out of their system that way.
Yeah. So So there are, like, two reasons, the need to gather, right? And also the need to be victorious for something, which I find interesting. Mm-hmm. But what I find really, I guess, disturbing, but it's not really disturbing, so I don't know what the word is, because disturbing kind of, like, you know, that
disconcerted.
Well, yeah, because disturbing is like that guy who fed cum to his kids, you know, his fifth graders. That's disturbing. But
well, what's your point?
No, I just have to throw that in. I have to throw that as a segue in there because we did a show on that. No, it's disconcerting, you know, shocking.
Yeah, it's
shocking,
right? Okay.
That people spend so much time, energy, money, right? To, like, be dedicated fans to identify with that team or this team or that fighter or this fighter.
Yeah.
And so the thing about the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight was that, like, I read that homeboy got paid $100 million for this fight.
Mayweather.
Uh-huh. So that, I was like, what?
That was just on the fight.
Whoa.
Right?
Yes. I'm going to get into the specifics.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying $100 million.
Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck is wrong with our country, with our lives, that you can actually, like, be okay with a boxer making $100 million for one fight? What is wrong with society?
Well, I'm glad that you're talking about that, because one of the things I love about you is that you don't watch sports.
Well, I do, actually. Sports for me is like porno. I kind of hide and I watch it when
that's
you're
fine.
Not around.
Then you don't make it. Yeah, that's fine.
Because I know you
world.
Don't like sports, but what I do is I sneak fucking, like, championship
it's not
games
a question
on
of
the
liking
side.
Sports or not liking sports. The idea of paying $100 million
no.
to
I
one
don't
guy. The idea of, like, millions of people and people just paying $100, just $100,
well,
to watch
this.
Two guys beat themselves up.
They're
it's
not
ridiculous.
Even beating themselves up. See, I
you
pay
can take
$100
that money from that night and, like, you know, rebuild Nepal and, like, save every person there.
Fuck Nepal. Why don't you build housing for all the black and fucking minority white people who are homeless right down here in downtown LA? I mean, you got fucking, like, whole city blocks with tents where people live because they got nowhere to live.
There should be a social tax, a society, you know, a society tax or a social tax that if you have a boxing match in a certain city, you know, half of it has to go towards, you know, helping the disenfranchised.
$100 million, bro. What the fuck?
The reason why he's making $100 million is because he's worth $100 million because
who do you think
pays him? The advertisers pay him because everybody's buying this. Everybody's buying the tickets.
The fans pay him.
The fans pay him, exactly. Everybody buys the hats and the shirts and all that.
What is wrong with our society?
Because it's a big pyramid scheme. You get everybody on the bottom to pay a little bit.
And that's what you tell me when I can get into this because this prompted me to get into looking up like the top 10 highest paid jobs in the United States and the 10 lowest paying jobs.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me just do the final numbers here before you go in here. Because $100 million, like Rich said, was just for the fight. So final pay-per-view buys have not yet been revealed, right? So they're coming up. A conservative 3 million buys would have generated $300 million in revenue, right? That's just pay-per-view, right? Because they were 100 a pop, right? That means that Mayweather made $180 million and Pacquiao made $120 million for a fight that did not pit two healthy fighters. Because then the other issue is that it came out that Pacquiao had a injured shoulder. Mm-hmm. And so that's another whole thing. So that the public was not told and tickets went for absurdly high amounts of money. So as you know, the pay-per-view charge was in HD, like, you know, that matters. It was $100 per household, significantly higher than any prior fight. The paying public was fleeced. So then we're going to get to that issue. But please, why don't you hit us up?
Well, it shows you where our priorities are as a society.
Please.
I think it's reflective of that. So in the top 10, I thought it was interesting. According to Forbes in 2014, here are the top 10 jobs. Number one is surgeon. Number two is general practitioner. Number three is psychiatrist. Number four is orthodontist. Number five is dentist. Number six is petroleum engineer. Number seven is air traffic controller.
I was going to say, where the fuck are our pilot controllers?
Number
there?
Eight is pharmacist. Number nine is podiatrist. And number 10 is attorney.
That's top?
And this is top according to Forbes. And I checked a bunch of websites, and this is accurate. Hmm. And so, and when I saw
made it to the top 10?
Number 8.
Not even a pharmaceutical executive, a pharmacist. That's pretty big.
This is very telling because this told me, no wonder why nobody wants Obamacare. Like, we have such a huge investment in the medical community.
Yeah.
These people are making so much
how
money.
How many on your list?
Do you know what 10. Do you know what the average
how
is?
How many are in the medical field?
About
all
seven.
Of them except petroleum engineer, air traffic controller,
about
and
seven.
Attorney.
Yeah, about
so
seven.
7 out of 10 are in the medical profession.
Do you know what the mean salaries were for those?
They
varied. Do you know?
They were pretty fucking mean.
They were.
They make some money.
They were in.
That's average for all you non-statistical
motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They were somewhere. From 200,000 right under that.
So a pharmacist?
Like, so 150,000.
A pharmacist makes 200,000?
Oh, they make a shit ton of money.
I didn't say 200. I said,
do you know it's not that complicated to be a pharmacist, right?
Hold on. By the time we're at number 8.
It takes a while, though.
Yeah?
It was probably around 130,000.
Oh, so
something like
130
that.
For a pharmacist? I can make more money selling crack than 130,000. I don't need to. You know,
but these are, you know, and of course there's a lot of attorneys that make more money than that.
But it's an average.
But that's an average. Yeah. I didn't know the medical community was making so much money. So you look at our priorities and it makes sense, right?
Most people
are on prescription drugs.
Well, yeah, it also makes sense why people are paying Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather $180 million and $120 million respectively because people are high. Pretty much.
Well,
everyone's
that's true.
High and
that's
you know injured.
A good point.
So I get it. So
that's
what's
a good point.
What's the bottom? What's
well,
the...
also you just had surgery.
Oh
right?
yeah,
and we just had in the recovery room. Nestor just had a hernia surgery.
Yeah,
and in the
I'll
recovery
show you guys.
Room, literally.
Hold on,
no, don't go there. Really?
Quaid, start the reactors.
Oh my god!
I had a hernia surgery. So what
Jeez,
they
are you?
Was, If you go to SkidRowStudios.com, or if you download the video version of this podcast, I'm actually showing you the hernia surgery on the video. So basically what they did was I had a little bulge popping out just below the belly button here, and they sliced it, and they cut a little fat. You can see I lost some weight.
You see, I lost some weight.
And so they took
Your belly button is drooling, man.
It's got glue. It's glue.
And they put a mesh.
It's literally glue.
Behind the hole in my abdominal wall. And then they closed the flap. And they don't even use stitches anymore. They use crazy glue, as you can see.
Yeah, it's glue.
Well, then crazy glue was invented because they were looking... No, they were. They were looking for a type of adhesive that instead of using staples or stitches... They were looking for a non-toxic glue that would bond immediately and bond to skin.
Right.
Well, that's what he's got on.
And they invented crazy glue, but they realized you could put it on everything else, too. So,
Well, anyway.
So, anyway.
Also, I just want to say real quick, because I failed to say this, but, you know, the show is recorded live every Thursday from 9 to 10. We start a little late once in a while here and there. But it's also live video. So if you ever wanted to check out, you know... anything crazy that we do live, you can go to SkidRowStudios.com. Like, for instance, if you want me to show you my belly button, you could also call in and I can show it to you right on the video camera, right then and there. I'm just in case, because a lot of people will listen to my show, they download it, but they're not aware of all the possibilities.
They're not going to pay $100 for that, though.
And it's free.
If you guys are interested, Nestor will be on Dark Mark's show next week next to you know, the scantily clad host he's got showing off his belly button.
Grinding her fucking...
So the point is that we're in the recovery room, and then the nurse there is like, she's very nice, and we start talking, and she says, we have surgeries all the time that don't need to be done.
Right.
It's a regular thing.
Right.
Just like you're talking about Pet Boys, and like, I shouldn't say the name, but like, are people just doing things?
I don't say the name unless they're paying me some money.
All right, well, not them, but like, you know, you're talking about a car dealership. Like,
this was
charging when it doesn't need to be done to replace a part. They're actually doing that with people.
Well, this is contributing. Well, this was elective surgery, what I just did. I didn't have to do this. I could have waited until it got worse and my guts.
That's debatable.
That's preventative.
It's not elective.
Listen,
right.
I went into urgent care. And I had screwed up, I think, the soleus muscle on my leg working out, right?
Exactly. That's why white guys get suntan lotion, put them on their heel, and then they get hurt from doing it.
So if you ever hurt that, just put some suntan.
And they give them soleus surgery. That's what that is.
So I went in there because I was freaking out. I thought a muscle had snapped or whatever. And the guy goes, you want some pills? Like, he didn't even, I said, can I get an X-ray or an MRI?
Want some pills? I'm glad you said
that's
that.
That's very American.
No, really. He's like, I can give you some medicine. You know, I'm like, I refuse.
They give me,
I don't want the Vicodin. I want my leg fixed.
A prescription for generic Vicodin. And first of all, I don't like narcotics. I just want to say that, right? I spent a good portion of my early childhood fucking around with narcotics and stuff like that. So I don't really like feeling high. Not into it. You know what I mean? If you can tell, I'm already high. I don't need anything else, right?
We can tell.
All the shit you did is still wearing
off.
It's
still fucking working. But of course, you don't know. I've never been through hernia surgery, so I fill the prescription. And you got to fill the prescription at least a week before because it's a highly controlled substance, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I get it. And, you know, when I come out of the surgery, I'm a little high. I don't know what the fuck they give you, but I'm like,
you kept going for hours. We went out to a party. It was actually a lot of fun, and there was like no arguing.
Right.
It was actually awesome. I kept the prescription.
Well, just in case, can you slide me some more?
It
wasn't the Vicodin that made me like that.
No, that was just from
the
surgery.
It was the cocktails, the surgery cocktails.
The oxygen that he made me breathe.
But you did, though, the next day, take a Vicodin and sit still for 6 hours.
Yeah, but it doesn't do anything to take away the pain in the area that is needed to remove the pain. First of all, there wasn't that much pain. It's just discomfort, right? So I take one of them, and I'm feeling lightheaded and woozy and high.
But your shit still hurts.
Well, I still feel discomfort. Yeah. So one thing doesn't do the other.
I mean, the irony is that, you know, Pacquiao needed surgery.
Right.
And he or whatever he needed for his shoulder.
Right.
And that's one case where they weren't going to do it because there was so much money involved and just like moving forward.
Well,
there's no way to back out of that.
Well, no, because if you did surgery, like that type of surgery, you're out for at least 6-7 months.
I'm saying they can't back out of those deals.
Easy.
That's too much money.
Well, no, here's the other thing. His trainers wanted the medics to inject his shoulder with some sort of
anti-inflammatory,
which technically is not illegal,
right?
It's just, you know, some sort of cortisone shot so that he can fight. And the boxing commission disallowed it. So, you know, of course, none of this is...
But they went the length, didn't they go? They went the whole, all the rounds you can go,
they went 12 rounds, but the problem is...
The problem is that
if you do the statistics and you go by Pacquiao's average thrown punches, he did about 50% of them. And so a fight like this, which was by decision, right? Because no one knocked anybody out. It's basically a match of statistical measures, right? Mm-hmm. How many punches are thrown? How many punches actually landed? You have Mayweather throwing a lot more punches. And, you know, when you do the averages, the more punches you throw, the more punches are going to land. And so they give him the decision, which is not really fair for fans that are, you know, rooting for Pacquiao. You have a lot
of
fucking...
So you think the fans are right to be suing?
You know,
that's something else that I wanted to say, but...
The bookies are pissed. The people betting are pissed. It has nothing to do with, like, my team didn't win and all that. It's these people who, they didn't get the information. They didn't get the information, enough information or whatever...
To make the right wager.
To make the right wager. That's... But they're not going to say that in the news outlets and all that. That's really what it comes down to. It comes down to money. It's always about the money.
Well, yeah.
So... Well, it's a guy.
We'll get back to the lowest 10 salaries or jobs. But you have those also, yeah?
I have the low ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll work
so let me just do the fans have the right to sue? So there are two Las Vegas residents who filed a $5 million class action lawsuit claiming that Pacquiao hid shoulder injury until after they paid for the fight. So you got two guys or women or whatever. I don't know what their gender is, but they're a $5 million class action suit, which basically what that means is they're trying to get as many people that want to join the suit, you know, together for $5 million. Dude, it's like, why don't you just, I mean, ask them to get your money back? Why don't you just ask your promoters, I don't think it's right. Can I get my $100 back and call it a day? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's the thing. So to do is, like, do they have the right, do you think they're going to, you know, do they have a right to bring a case like this to court? Anyway, so go back to the lower, the bottom 10 things, and then I want
to
go back to my surgery.
All right. So
we're going all over the place. Bing, boom, bang.
So also in Forbes, according to Forbes, the United States is the number one country that has low-paying jobs.
And they're number one.
Number one.
And interesting because we're the richest, one of the richest countries in the world.
Yes.
Lower than China?
No, I was going to say the richest.
No. You know what? I'm going to look this up. No, it's of the, you know, like the people in the, hold on.
In the Western world?
Organization. In the Western world,
Not the sweatshop.
It's like France, Belgium, the standard countries that we're all in the same league here. We are number one. And the definition of a low-paying job are jobs that are below the median income, which the median income in this country right now is $35,000 and $35,080.
That's the median?
That's the median income.
I thought it was like 52,000. Wow. 35. Okay.
2014.
Wow. Okay.
35,000?
Yes.
Wow. That's how much my garden's getting paid?
No, less.
Fuck that. I'm giving him a pay reduction.
We're number one country in people getting paid less than that.
Less than 35,000.
Less than the median income.
So compared to the median income anywhere, that's...
We're way above.
Yeah, yeah.
We're way above.
Got it. Okay.
So the top 10 of the lowest paying jobs, number one, guess. Did you look already?
Of the lowest paying jobs?
I can't read your writing.
The top 10?
Yeah.
The number 10?
Yeah. Number one of the lowest
paying jobs?
You want me to read it backwards? Does that help your brain?
Yeah, no. Count it down. Like the...
10, 9?
The 10th worst, 9th worst, and then the worst.
All right,
And that gives me time to think about
So number 10 is parking lot attendants.
parking lot attendants.
That's neat. Everybody needs to think about this when they're tipping and what they're doing and when you don't want to go there.
Yeah, but that's
there.
Because these
Just
guys
listen,
are not resourceful.
That's number 10.
These parking lot attendants. Because
number 9.
That would be one of
this
the richest jobs. Because I take your car, you give me your key, I'll be like, okay, I'll park your car. Here's your stuff, but I never come back.
Well, he might want to
blow the curve if you start parking cars.
In LA,
you might want to think twice before leaving shit in your car.
Lamborghinis and all sorts. Anyway, yeah. Think twice about the tipping the parking attendants.
Or leaving stuff in your car. Okay. Number 9 is a little scary. It's personal and home care aides.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the people taking care of older people.
Those are like those Jamaican ladies, like,
oh my God,
sucking their teeth. Man, I'm not wiping your grandpappy
That's
ass.
That's right. They're not getting
Big
paid.
Up to your diapers. Big up to health insurance, man. I'm not wiping your grandpappy ass. Boom, baclad. I'm not sweeping the carpet.
That's right. Number 8 was lifeguards.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like 12, or no, they're like 15,
but
they're 16 years old.
That makes sense. That's a seasonal job.
Just saying.
They're kids.
And
number
they're usually
7,
white kids that are going to go on to make $50 million
number,
later on.
Number 7 is gaming dealers, like card dealers.
Really?
They
don't make that much money.
No, they don't make money. I didn't know that. I thought they made a lot of money.
They're not reporting their tips.
I don't know what they're doing.
No. You'd be surprised. A lot of people don't give
wages.
Tips.
This goes by hourly wages.
Hourly wages. Yeah. Okay.
Number 6 is garment workers, which has not gone up forever, and they still get screwed. Yeah. Everywhere in the world, they get screwed.
But especially here.
Yeah. Number 5, well, I don't know, especially here, but... Well, I don't think they're doing too good anymore.
Yeah, well, I'm saying American apparel and garment workers in the United States.
They've always gotten screwed. Yeah. Number 5 is cashiers.
Fuck them. The cashiers
like
Let me tell you
grocery
something
store?
About cashiers.
Yeah, all cashiers. Target,
Let me explain something to you about cashiers.
I don't know
cashiers.
Target. I don't want to speak about Target.
No. Let me tell you something about cashiers. Yes. They should be the number 10, okay? Because cashiers are just fucking dummies. Right?
That's not right.
I'm sorry if I'm
That's
offending
there's
you.
There's a lot of women that are cashiers.
No. There was a time in this country when you were a cashier, you needed to know how to add and subtract. Right now, all you're doing is fucking assisting in the scanning conveyor belt.
That doesn't mean they're dummies. They're just using technology.
They also had a union back in the day, and
all right.
They don't anymore.
They don't anymore, thanks
well,
to.
Go.
Automated
Reagan and
that's why they're on this list.
You mentioned Target. You want to know how nasty, when I say nasty, I mean badass Target is? So Target has a camera on top of every cashier location. So like every transaction has a video code to it. So like if you come back and you try to return something, like I did one time for instance, they charge me they charged me for 5 towels, and when I got home, I was like, oh, fuck, there's only 4 here.
Yeah.
How am I going to go back and prove to them that I only got 4 and not 5, right?
They played it back for you?
I was like, fuck it, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell them. I mean, I'm honest about it. I mean, the least they can do is tell me to go fuck myself. It wouldn't be the first time.
That's good.
The guy goes, all right, let me see the receipt. So he looks at the receipt. There's a time code on the receipt and a date. So he goes back, and I'm not talking about 3 months later. This was like about like within 4 days or 3 days of the transaction. Yeah. So he goes and he looks at it. He goes, I'm going to go back and look at the video. I'm like, the video? Fuck you talking about? This is a towel, motherfucker. He comes back and he goes, yeah. I see that only 4 towels were put into your bag. I was like, big up for Target camera, you motherfucker.
Number 4 is amusement park and recreation attendants.
Yeah, well, that's also a seasonal thing, unless you live in California.
Or out here. Yeah, a lot of these jobs are actually out here. Because number three, which we all know they get screwed, is farm laborers, which are mainly out
three.
In California.
Well, I mean, they're up there. That's
well,
not
they're,
bad.
Well, they're, I mean, they get enslaved to, like, pick fruit. I mean, that you know.
They're called avocado and almond enslavers.
Number 2, I would have never guessed this one. Number 2.
I wish
well,
I had a
there
drum
seems
roll.
To be a little tie because I was looking on different websites.
Do I have a drum roll here
Number
somewhere?
2.
Hold on a second.
Come on, they deserve it. Number 2 deserves it.
Yes, go ahead, number 2.
Number 2 is kind of a tie. No. Shampooers in a hair salon.
Shampooers are getting paid
they
more
get paid
than my
nothing.
Fucking agricultural. Oh.
No,
oh, they're like
less.
Number 2.
They're number 2 worst.
Got it.
And then this breaks my heart. the kind of in a tie with the shampooers. We got no drum roll, nothing?
I'm looking for it.
Oh, man. All right. Movie ushers and ticket takers.
Wow.
Screwed.
Wow.
One of our biggest industries in this country.
Yeah.
And they get screwed.
Movie ticket? Movie ticket?
Well, movie ushers and ticket takers. Number one. What's number one?
Number one.
It's a little toss up with number one, too, but what's number one?
I would say gardeners.
No.
The number one low paying job?
Number one low paying job. Custodians?
Fast food cooks. And dishwashers.
Oh, shit. Yep. Why didn't I know that?
Yep.
Custodians?
Wow.
Fast food cooks and dishwashers. Yep. Lowest paid jobs in the United States in 2014.
Do you really want to go out and eat at a place?
Oh, wait a minute. I don't have...
Where they pay them...
I don't have drums like a drum roll, but I have this since this is the Nestorius...
Personal home care workers.
I have African. Hey, man, do your grandpappy need his butt waxed? Hey, man.
I don't think it's really a matter of race. I think there's a lot of different people taking home. But I think the most disturbing job that's low paying is personal care aides. Right.
I've got a whole soundboard here that I've never even used.
You're hiring people to take care of people. Anyway enough of that.
Mm-hmm. Enough of that. So thanks for letting me.
That was interesting.
I like that. So here's the other thing. We're talking about lawsuits, like the class action lawsuit that's happening, which, by the way, if you did buy a $100 pay-per-view...
Oh, we're still talking about the fight.
In HD, and you want to join that class action lawsuit, Google it. I mean, shit, why not? You could always join in and say that, you know, your shoulder hurts because you kept changing the remote because the fight sucked so bad.
And I heard it was a really bad fight. They just kind of danced around... Yeah. They didn't really connect.
Any fight that you'd have to pay somebody $180 million is a bad fight. Because there's no fight that you can justify that much money.
You can't get excited about it.
You can't do it.
Somebody would have to die.
Yeah, exactly. No.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Exactly. For $180 million.
And you know what? As sick as this fucking country is, people would pay $180 million.
No, for $180 million, somebody's head would have to be chopped off. Then you'd have
to bite their ear off. Yeah. Remember those days?
No. That was Mike Tyson.
Oh, Mike Tyson. Yeah, sorry.
Mike Tyson with, that was Evander Holyfield. Right.
Evander. Well, hold on.
Then you get your money's worth.
So here's the show.
Exactly.
So two more things about the fight, then we'll move on real quick to some fun stuff, right? So the president of fight promoter Top Rank Inc., right, said the company plans to pursue legal action following widespread piracy of the Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao fight on video sharing smartphone apps and websites. Rather than pay the $100 pay-per-view fee to watch the fight at home, many people watched streams of the fight on video sharing apps such as Periscope and other technology. I guess some boasted on social media that they were using Periscope to watch the fight for free. So I didn't know there was an option to do that, but now I know, you know. How do you feel about that, Rosemary, being that you're a big anti-piracy supporter? Do you think in this case, for instance, it warrants to watch the fight for free however way you need it, being that we all agree that $100 is a lot of money?
Yeah, I can't myself...
Support that. Got it.
I just can't, because I think people, you know, there's other younger generations and people that... You know, it happens to the music industry. I mean, it's happening to every industry, and people feel a sense of entitlement about getting things for free.
That you shouldn't pay for
and
it.
It's not only that, you know, we go to you know, a store, Walmart, and expect to get, like, a T-shirt for $4.
Right.
But now we expect stuff for free. Mm-hmm. Like, there's such a sense of entitlement to the internet. And, you know, a lot of this fight aside, that's a ridiculous amount of money. Mm-hmm. And that means only it's pretty elitist. Mm-hmm. That people get to watch that fight.
That's ridiculous.
That's a problem. But when it comes down to music and movies and stealing movies and thinking that it's okay to download shit without people that worked hard on it and that depend on a living to get paid from that, I just think there's a sense of entitlement.
We got a call. But first of all, you couldn't pay me to watch the fight.
Right.
So even if it was for free, I wouldn't give a fuck.
That's why Simon just called
in. Simon, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I owe you a call, man. You've called me like a couple days ago. And, you know, let me just tell you straight up. I don't know if you heard, but I had hernia surgery. So I kind of been out of commission.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What happened, man? What were you doing?
Well,
I know I wasn't lifting weights.
Well, no, what happened is...
He wasn't lifting weights.
You know that I got circumcised when I was a kid, so we got that in common. But, you know, I kind of...
How do you know that?
Because Jews get someone circumcised, honey. You don't know this?
Oh, we showed each other. We showed each other.
Well, he was just showing... I thought maybe that's why you called, because he was just showing his belly button, so I thought you got excited.
No, he didn't listen to it. You know what, okay, Simon? You know what? Let's move on from this analogy I was going to make because my wife just fucked it up. Just go ahead. So I had surgery. Nothing happened. I had a little extra fat coming out my belly button. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What happened with your hernia?
Nothing. I just had a little bulge. You've been out of town, man, for a while. Otherwise, I would have showed you. I had like a little bubble that popped out from underneath my belly button. There's a little hole in the abdominal wall that, you know.
But your belly button was popping out a little bit too, right?
Well, because it's very close to it. That's what it was. Anyway, so what's up, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm sitting there flipping through Facebook, and I see that the lovely Rosemary Rodriguez is going to be chopping it up on the air, so I wanted to listen in and call and say hey.
Nice.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm great. I'm good. I had a hernia surgery when I was a kid, too.
Yeah?
When you were a kid?
I mean, also.
That's unusual for a kid, no?
So we were just talking about real quick.
I never heard of him. He was a rambunctious youth.
I don't know if you tuned in.
I was like 18. Oh, okay.
He was lifting a lot of weights back then.
I don't know if you tuned in earlier, but we were talking about the ridiculousness of the amount of money that Mayweather and Pacquiao were getting paid for this retarded fight.
Yeah, it could have ended world hunger. Instead, we got to watch a boxing match where a grown man ran around the ring running. Well, he didn't even stand in and fight. Every time Pacquiao tried to fight him, he just turned and ran like it was a track meet. We should have just had Carl Lewis fight the flying Camaras off brothers.
That was good.
Well, what we should have done, we should have, like, integrated three things. The Trinidadian Brooklyn Day Parade, and we should have had the fight, and we should have had the Ethiopian fucking cross-country race all in one sporting event, then it would have justified the $180 million.
Let me tell you something. This is like, if anybody wants any proof that boxing is bullshit, full of shit, and out of hand, when the Burger King guy is in your corner, okay, it's too much. You've gone a little too far.
What do you mean? What do you mean the Burger King guy?
Can Sam starts walking out with the Captain Crunch guy? Give me a fucking break.
Who are these?
Did that happen?
Are these the coaches? Are these the trainers? Who are these guys?
Trainers.
Did you watch the fight?
No, of course we didn't watch the fight.
What do you think? We hate the fight.
What do you think?
You know the Burger King guy from the Burger King commercials that wears that mask?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He walked out of the tunnel with Mayweather as a Burger King promotion and sat in Mayweather's corner the whole time.
What a piece
of
shit.
That's why they're getting paid $180 million.
The $180 million does not account for any Burger King endorsements.
Yes, it does. No, it doesn't.
$100 million is what he got to
fight.
That's
an addition?
No.
But wait, Simon.
But he got to fight.
No.
And during the fight, they got Burger King in the corner.
Simon just said that was an addition.
That's an addition.
I'm not sure you're really using the word fight properly, because he did not fight.
Right, okay. But I have a question. Wait, but why were like you watching? Dancing, why were you watching the fight?
Well, the last time I watched a boxing match, okay, was when I saw Mike Tyson knock out Bruce Seldon without actually hitting him.
Right, that's a boxing match, yes.
Yeah, without actually hitting him.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't understand.
Threw a punch, missed, and knocked him out. And I said, you know, I'm not going to watch this again.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So I've never in my life seen Mayweather.
You know what that's called? That's called lucha libre. That's not a boxing match.
How did you come to watch this fight if you hate it so much and are morally opposed to it?
Were you using Periscope?
Because about 20 black guys and one Jew got together in Seattle and chipped in, and he was part of it.
What?
I said, she said, Rosemary asked, how did you get to see the fight? I said, because about 20 black guys and one Jew got together and chipped in to watch the fight. And you were the black guy.
No, but what happened is, I'll tell you why. I haven't watched a boxing match in probably 10 years or more. Okay, mm-hmm. I've never seen either of these guys fight. But I am a sports fan. I do listen to sports radio. And they've been hyping this fight for 5 years. So I thought, wow, it must be worth something, or else why would they have been talking about it so much? So I decided, okay, I'm gonna watch it. You know, it seems like it would be a great fight. Floyd Mayweather, I have never seen such a ballet dancing act in my life. I'm sorry, man. The guy never stood in and fought with him.
Did you pay $100?
No. My buddy did. I threw him $20 just to be, you know.
Yeah. All right. His name is Simon Kaufman. Okay, his name is not fucking Bill Withers. His name is Simon Kaufman. You understand?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, listen. So
I'm the cheap Jew, is what he's trying.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Okay, let me just say this. And first of all, I just want to tag team on that. I don't buy that Jews are cheap bullshit. So I was fighting. Anyway, so I read this thing about, first of all, I think Mayweather is one of the classless, when it comes to boxers and sports figures, I would pay him $5 to use his fucking silk underwear to get in there with Burger King, and then I tell him to get the fuck out. That's how much I would pay him, $5.
He's bad for America.
He's despicable. He's despicable. I read this article about how he said he used to watch boxing matches all along since he was a kid, and he went to every boxing match, kind of like comedians do, right, when we go to open mics to just go. He used to go, and then he's been so disenfranchised and discouraged and kind of like with boxing. And I said to myself, really? Because he is one of the guys that has contributed to the demise. If the last boxing match you mentioned with Mike Tyson was bad, what this guy has done, he's taken where Mike Tyson left boxing, and he's taken it further down into the shitter than anybody else could have ever put. And so
If you want to pay me to dance around a ring and not even engage or not even come in and box, I could do that.
No. But you couldn't dance like him. You would probably need that hala makila hala makila ha. You would need something like that. They're not going to pay for that, Simon.
But I'll drop some Silka's Tour on that ass, spin around, do a little breakdance move. All I'm saying is it was pathetic. He's bad for America. It's so stupid.
What's pathetic is that you're not on this show anymore. What's up?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I mean, let's get real. Well, who gives a fuck about Pacquiao Mayweather?
He called me and he said, yo, when is that 100th episode?
Exactly.
And, you know, I may be able to make it. To answer your question, Simon, this is episode 80. But it's probably the 100th episode that I have up, or the 98th or 99th episode, probably the 98th. So,
well, I want to try to come back. I mean, when you guys are doing episode 100,
well,
you know, I found out I got some bad news. I found out on Monday they want to do another surgery on my ankle because they're having some complications. But, I mean, I'm healing. I'm figuring it all out. I can't even walk right.
Can't put no fucking kerplotch or any fucking like matzo ball soup juice on that shit to make it feel better?
Kerplotch.
Yeah. You can't put no fucking,
it's Kreplock.
You know, you can't put no kerplotch in some fucking borscht, some borscht juice on that shit?
I need to go to that restaurant in the Toluca Lake Times and grab some new stuff from there and rub it on.
Dude, you fucking Jews, man. Let me tell you something. Puerto Ricans, I would have put some Vicks vapor rub on that shit, and my mom would have kicked my ass out of the house and said to get a fucking job and cut the bullshit. That's what happened to me. You're going on for 4 or 5 fucking months limping. All you do is get up on fucking stage, hold a mic. What the fuck does your ankle have to do with the microphone?
Well, because, I mean, what am I going to do for work when I mean, listen, I don't want to come back to L.A. till I can walk properly. You know what I'm saying? Like, I
why? You don't need to walk in L.A. Here.
This is a place you don't need to walk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all you need to do is get yourself, you know, a Middle Eastern chick that has a lot of money and has, like, fucking a Mercedes Benz or two, and you can make believe you're Persian, and you can just go, fuck you! I am Persian!
Well, I've been on MiddleEasternChick.org trying, I've made a profile trying to find someone, but...
So,
Not hairy enough.
Let me wrap this little thing about the Mayweather fight. So, in addition to all this, right, he banned two female journalists, Rachel Nichols of CNN and Michelle Beadle of HBO, for pointing out that Mayweather's history of domestic violence. So this motherfucker not only makes $180 million, but he's got the power and the right to, you know, prevent the press, not just the press, but two female journalists from
ridiculous.
I'm just looking at his history. What? Go ahead.
He's beat the shit out of many women.
Yeah, many women.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, if he wants to beat up women, how come he doesn't want to fight Pacquiao? The guy ran around like, you know, any guy, you know, look at him. He wants to punch women. He doesn't want to fight.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem. Somebody should have told Pacquiao to wear a wig. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And then we would have had a good fight. Who knew?
Yeah. Listen, dude, listen. Here's the reality, okay? If you look at the NBA, all right, if you look at the NFL, you look at Major League Baseball, okay, it's a league. There's uniformity, okay? Every team needs the same uniform. Your field needs to be the same dimensions. You're all playing by the same rule book. You use the same regulation baseballs, the same regulation bats.
The same regulation steroids.
Exactly. But I'm saying the problem with boxing is it's the Wild West.
Yeah,
it's, you know, everyone's off doing whatever they want to do. Each state has their own rules. It's not a sport. It's not a real sport anymore.
Nah, it's a clown show, is what it is.
There's a story here that says
ridiculous.
There's a story
it's
here that
totally
says
fixed.
It says that he's the highest paid athlete in sports, and he collected $41.5 million in September 13th for his victory over Saul Alvarez, and he once posted online an ATM receipt that indicated his account balance of $123 million.
First of all, can I just tell you something? I'm
going to
tell you something. Yeah. If you have an ATM receipt, right, that has a balance of $120 million, that right there constitutes you to be the captain of the retarded fucking team of the planet. Because if you have $120 million in your basic bank account, that means you're getting point pubic hair percent on your fucking interest on your money. If you're a real smart motherfucker, you'd have maybe $3,000 in your bank account and the rest of that shit invested in fucking variable rate stocks.
Dude, he's going to be on...
Well, he doesn't know how to read. He doesn't know how to read, so he's not a smart person.
He's gross.
He's pathetic. I mean, America loves a shit show.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference between him and the Kardashians? What's the difference?
Exactly.
Nestor
likes
for
them.
For one thing, the Kardashians can dance better, and for the other, Kim Kardashian has a big-ass fucking booty, and he doesn't have that.
Okay, I don't know. I saw him dance like a ballerina in the boxing match. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I saw a really good dance job.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
I'm with you. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Anyway, so I was thinking about you today, not only because I owe you a call, but I saw this poster for a rap contest that they're having. It's only a $25 fucking fee to get in. And I thought, fuck, man, Simon, wouldn't it be cool if you were down here?
Dude, two weeks ago, I just won a freestyle rap battle they did after a stand-up comedy show.
Yeah?
They called up a bunch of people. I just won a freestyle rap battle.
Would you win?
Congratulations.
Would you win? An ace bandage?
What?
I said, what did you win? An ace bandage?
Yeah, no, I won $10.
There's all those years that all that talent put to good way.
Dude, take those $10. Take those $10. Get on the Pacific Sun Gold Liner, or whatever the fuck it's called on Amtrak. Come down here. Pay $25. I'll spot you the $25 to do the rap contest. I think it's a $200.
You're gonna sponsor me like Burger King sponsors Mayweather.
We got 5 minutes. Hey, so listen, man. We're coming down on the show. I just wanted to say, thank you for calling me, man. Thank you for calling in the show.
We miss you.
Yeah.
I miss you too. I want to try to make it down there for one of the 100th episodes. So
did you like the Silver Skies page yet or what?
He's liked it.
Oh, you've liked it?
Okay. Hey, by the way, if you're listening to the show, man, we have a movie that we produced and Rosemary directed and all that other stuff. We have a Facebook page. Make sure that you go to Facebook and you like the page. Silver Skies, the
movie.
I got
my girlfriend to like it also.
Good. Yeah. Get everybody to like
Facebook.
I just hope she likes me.
Yeah, Google. go to Facebook.com and search Silver Skies, the movie.
She'll like you when she sees you get you arresting the bad guy in Silver Skies.
Totally.
Hey, so...
I got a big laugh in the theater when we watched it.
That's
right. Hey, so before you go, let me just tell you this. So in California, right, a judge ordered, a judge in California ordered California to pay for an inmate's sex change operation.
Why?
Because, I mean, a federal judge in San Francisco has ordered California to pay for a sex change operation for a biologically male prisoner that could cost as much as $100,000. U.S. District Court Judge John Tiger ruled Thursday that Michelle Lyell B. Norsworthy, who was born Jeffrey Brian Norsworthy, should undergo gender reassignment surgery at the state's expense to ensure her constitutional rights are met. That's why. To ensure her constitutional rights are met.
Yeah. No, well, actually, that's actually one of the founding principles at the when they wrote the Constitution.
Yeah.
Really, if you think about it, if you study the history, I think it was Thomas Jefferson that was really a big proponent of...
Of transsexuals.
As transgenderism.
Yeah. He was a big... Samuel Adams, they were a big... That was one of the main reasons they fought the British. A lot of people thought it had to do with taxes, but it really had to do with being able to get your dick chopped off.
Exactly. So, Norsworthy has been in prison since 87 and is serving 17 years to life for the 1985 shooting death of an acquaintance, according to the Orange County Register newspaper. See, my thing is, if you're doing 17 years to life, you don't need to change your gender. You just suck dick. You have all the big burly black dudes in prison.
You make friends. You get cigarettes out of the
exactly.
deal.
Exactly.
Well, she carton out of the deal.
It could be like the cop who's suing Starbucks, the North Carolina cop who's suing Starbucks because the coffee lid came off his Starbucks cup.
Free.
And burned
a free
him.
Coffee.
A free coffee that
Starbucks
they gave this cop.
Gave this cop free coffee.
On. But I just lost it. But so it burned his groin.
Yeah.
And he sued them for $75,000 because his wife had lost her intimate partner.
Ah. Yes. Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. And for $75,000, you can get a really nice intimate partner online these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it says they're seeking $750,000
oh,
$750,000. To cover the cost of the legal and medical fees and damages.
$750,000. I thought it was $75,000.
Nice partners online. I think it's a really it's a message out there for a lot of the youth that want gender reassignment surgery.
Exactly. That's why I brought
it. Don't save your money.
Go to Starbucks. Go to Starbucks. Get a free cup of coffee.
Kill him.
Yeah. Go to Starbucks. Get a free cup of fucking coffee. While you're at it, get a fucking 20, a venti, hot black coffee. Tell the barista to lightly put the cap on and then just squeeze the fucking cup when she gives it to you and let the hot shit fall on your lap and then your cock will automatically disappear and there you go. You can save the rest of us
that the Puerto Rican sex change.
Yeah, well, exactly. It'll be a fucking Puerto Rican sex change operation. There you go. Hey, while we're at it, we're almost done. But here, while you're at it, you want to hear some bizarre lawsuit?
Yeah.
So a Utah woman has been cleared to sue herself for killing her husband in a car accident, right? Barbara Bagley accuses herself of negligence in the 2011 rollover of the family's Range Rover. A court ruled that Bagley as the representative of her husband's estate, can sue Bagley as the driver. So she can seek insurance damages. And so she can seek insurance damages. Big up for the fucking, for the legal system in America, come on. Big up for anybody who wants to chop their cock off. Big up if you get a free cup of coffee and you're a fucking police officer, get $750,000, man.
We should really talk about that Vice show that we saw about the trans, the gay, the homosexuals in Iran.
That's actually that a really
should,
interesting show.
You should bring
show.
That up.
That's a good
bring
one.
That up next
yeah,
time.
So we're wrapping this up.
Oh, how they're forcing them to do...
No,
they're forcing them to do sex change operations.
Well, it's illegal to be gay in Iran.
But it's not illegal to be a transgendered person.
Well, no. What they're saying is if you're a man and you want a man, you have to change your fucking sexual orientation. So then now you're a woman. So they're actually forcing you for a sex reassignment surgery. So,
yeah, I have a good idea. Why don't we give nuclear weapons to these people? That's a great plan.
There you go. I know, exactly.
Yeah.
That's great. Why don't we, let's give them some nukes. That's great.
Give them some nukes.
We should do a little plug for Vice, though.
Vice is a good show. That's a show on HBO. So, yo, thank you for calling us, Simon. Love you, man. I'll give you a call. Let you know when that 100 episode is coming up.
Yeah, I can't wait to get down there and get back in the mix with you guys.
Yeah, well, technically, we can record the 100 episode. It doesn't have to be live, so it doesn't matter. I'll call you this week. We'll talk.
All right, sounds good.
All right, peace.
Take care of yourself.
So that concludes another wonderful episode of Notorious Public Radio. I want you to know that if you're out there in Skid Row Studioville or in iTunes land, you need to go and tell your friends. Tell two friends and have them tell two friends and have those two friends tell another two friends. So to go to iTunes and search the podcast section for Notorious Public Radio and tell them to not only subscribe, but tell them to leave a review and tell them to put a 3 or 4 or 5 star rating.
Five star rating.
But you
put
know,
six
I,
stars.
I want you to just feel like you're saying something. 3, 4, or 5 star rating. Take a screen grab of that shit and email it to me at Nestorius@yahoo.com, and I'm gonna get some shirts out to you. All right, just do that. Take a screen grab of your rating of 3, 4, or 5 star. Make it a 4 or 5 star.
A 5 star.
Fuck it. I'm giving you a shirt. A 5 star rating.
In there.
I'm Puerto Rican. I'm trying to make him like be flexible.
A 5 star, ma'am.
The Rosemary sent a 5 star rating and take a screen crab of that and then email it to me at Nestorius@yahoo.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Go to Facebook.com and go to Nestorius Public Radio. Like the page. And what do you up to? What are you doing, Rosemary? Anything good?
I'm about to go to New York and direct Marvel's new show on Netflix called AKA Jessica Jones, follow-up to Daredevil.
AKA? Oh, cool. Oh, it is a follow-up
Jessica
to Daredevil?
Yeah.
Oh, well, awesome.
Yeah, it's their next show on Netflix. I'm excited about that.
We just finished doing the whole season of Daredevil.
I'm going to go to Pittsburgh and do 2 episodes of a new show that's going to be on WGN called Outsiders. That's Peter Cullen is on.
Big up Outsiders, nice. Man.
And More Good Wife, and got to get Silver Skies out there. So Silver Skies, the movie.
Like Silver Skies, the movie on Facebook, and like Nestorius Public Radio on Facebook. And yo, we out, man. You know what I'm saying? Get it off. Get it off. Let it off. Get it off. Get it off. Let it off. Get it off. Let it off.
Get it off. Let it off. Get it off. Get it off. Let it off. Ooh-wee. It's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, encourage me the whole way along.